Hello, everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of V-Speaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. V-Speaks is a layer of V-Magazine to extend our storytelling, and I'm super excited today to introduce you to my next guest, Ashley Lane Adams, who I met a couple of years ago through a friend of ours, and we had a lovely lunch, and she told me about an idea that she had to write a book, and lo and behold, she has written that book. It is spectacular, raw, authentic, heartfelt, courageous, and incredibly bold, and I'm very proud of her. From Suffering to Surrender. Ashley, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Such a good name of the book, so apropos, and like I said, I mean, I really cordoned myself off in a room yesterday. Because I didn't have time to do it prior to, so I was kind of cramming, but I was able to read it, and I'm thankful that I did, not only to get ready for the podcast interview, but it actually moved me on several levels, myself, and I think you're going to be doing a great service to many, many women who might have an iteration of some things that you had gone through that you are overcoming or have already overcome with words of wisdom, inspiration, tips toward recovery to get out of some difficult situations. I will hand the floor over to you and let you tell in your own words what led you to decide that you needed to put pen to paper.
That's a great question. You know, I think my experience of navigating being in a relational dynamic that felt so profoundly uncomfortable, but not being aware of the patterns that were at play, then coming to a place where I was aware of that, and it became so clear to me that in order to have any sort of healthy, happy life, I had to get out of it. And then once out of it and navigating divorce and coming to terms with less time with my children and just all of those things, really coming to, I think I said this yesterday on one of my Instagram posts, what really felt like a dark night of the soul, where I just was very lost in kind of every way and even on the spiritual front. And so going through a very a spiritual search for truth, for my truth of how do I navigate this level of suffering. And then also through starting to have conversations with women in my neighborhood and just more women and realizing the number of women who have experienced covert, emotional, other types of abuse. And because these types of abuse aren't seen, you can't see them from the outside, and oftentimes people aren't even aware that they're experiencing them. Just really wanting to create awareness around that, to share with any other woman who might still be stuck in that situation, that there's another way to be, there's another way to live, there's another way to experience life, and that you don't have to choose to stay stuck in that. And so I think it just became, I really wanted to create awareness around that, because having been in it and having been unaware of the pattern that I was in for so long, once I became aware of it, I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I was accepting that kind of behavior in my life. Mm-hmm. So I think I just really wanted to promote awareness around that. And then, yeah, I think to have the courage to share a story and be vulnerable in that, and also just really coming to a place of surrendering to my higher power as a way of really accessing peace as I navigate suffering. Mm-hmm. And we all navigate suffering, because mm-hmm. it's just part of the human experience. Mm-hmm. So I think I wanted to share the tools that I had learned that had helped me access that peace in hopes that it might help other people access peace in their lives. Mm-hmm.
For some context for the listeners, when I first met you, you had given me somewhat of a Reader's Digest version of yourself that sounded fantastical to me, and that you had were living in Paris or France.
I did live in France for a while, yes.
And then met the love of your life at the time, and then got married.
Yes.
And I forget if you stayed there in France, or did you come back? Did you come to the States?
So I was in Bordeaux. I studied in Cannes, which is where I was swept off of my feet with a French musician.
Mm-hmm. And, but of course.
Yeah, of course. How could I not be? I was 20, you know.
Right. And he was French.
And he was French and a musician and a poet. I mean, he literally wrote me love poems like every day.
Run.
I mean,
run.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Yeah, and then I lived in Bordeaux for a year, and then we moved to the States.
And then that was a short-lived...
Well, actually, I was with him for 10 years.
Oh, you were with mm-hmm. him for 10 years.
I basically, okay. I did my 20s with him.
Really?
I did my 30s with the father of my children.
Okay.
And
that's a long time.
Half of my 40s I've done on my own.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so you were in California when you came to the States too, right?
First in Mississippi.
Okay.
We played music for a while.
Mm-hmm. Do you play music?
I play the drums.
I did not know that. Wow. Yeah, do you still play?
It's been so long.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure I could, but
you should do it again.
Set down the sticks and picked up the babies. But right. It calls to me. Music calls to me. It will definitely come back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so then from there, we moved to Los Angeles, which is where I pursued acting for a time. And
yes, I want to know more about that. In the book, you just said that, but tell me more. Like, did you go to casting calls and all that? Tell me the whole story.
Yes, I studied at the Beverly Hills Playhouse
for
about a year. Loved it. So much fun. I love acting, too. I'm definitely an artist, like, in every possible way.
Right.
But I adored it. And I feel like acting is actually a very powerful exercise because it teaches you how to be comfortable in vulnerability. Because even though you're acting, mm-hmm. like you're still connecting eye to eye with the human and letting your emotions flow through. So it's I found it to be a very powerful exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, fun. Maybe you pick that back up again too. Who knows, right?
Yes, there's space for all of it.
Yes. So then that relationship just like ran its course as relationships do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the real story probably of your rediscovery and healing probably happened from your second marriage
mm-hmm.
And your two cute little kids and all that. So I'll set up just like my own opinion and then let you talk through with your own words. For the listeners out there, I read the book yesterday. I was telling Ashley before we went live that I was very moved by it. I thought it was very well written, and I thought a lot of heart and goodness is in it, like to show people how you worked out your grief and your recovery, and also to help other people who might be in a certain stage of what you had gone through, which is basically abuse in a relationship. And it was sad at times, and I really felt for you. And I also know that an iteration of that has happened to many, many people, whether they were dating somebody or married to somebody at maybe sadly one time in their life, if not more. So if you want to sort of lead, obviously you can't read the whole book right now, sort of like take it from the level where you kind of knew there were things going on that you could not stay in anymore with the kids.
Yeah. So you mean sort of just tell the story?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Yeah. So I actually listened to a podcast in which a woman said, if you experience fear with your partner, then you are in a pattern of abuse. That you're not meant to experience fear with a partner. So obviously there are all kinds of difficulties and things we navigate, and you know it's not supposed to be easy, but you're not supposed to be afraid. And that was really an aha moment for me of like, oh, I experience fear every time I'm around him. In that moment, there was a light bulb, a snap, and it was like, okay, now I plan to leave. Now I'm planning how I'm going to leave. And I wanted to do it in a very safe way. I I was really very fearful at the time. So I was reading a lot of things about how abusive men and controlling men, they can be very triggered when women leave them because then they no longer have control. And sometimes violence can ensue in that process. So I wanted to be very safe. So I set it up where my mom took my kids, my dad and my brother came over as I confronted him and said, look, I believe we're in an abusive dynamic. I'm leaving. I'm taking the kids to the parents. And that's it. he was very calm when I expressed that. And I just got in the car and went to my parents' house. And that was that at the time. I still was not 100% sure that I was going to divorce him. So, and that's another thing that I learned through the process is the longer that you are away, the longer that you're out of the dynamic, the more you start to see and think clearly and get back connected to your own inner voice and your higher self. Because when you're so enmeshed with another human and you're enmeshed in their energy, you start to not see things clearly. So it took me a while to unravel as I was away from him, but it just became clearer and clearer. I'm just like, I could never go back to that dynamic. It was killing me, killing my spirit. I had to navigate the divorce process. I had a lot of fear in that. And that's another thing I talk about in the book is I wish I would have known at the time how important it is what we put our focus on, because I was very much putting my focus on all of the worst case scenarios and therefore experiencing that. I would definitely advise a woman going through leaving a partner like that or going through a divorce to, in as much as she can, focus on what she wants, focus on what she wants to see and what she wants to feel and what she wants to create, and then surrendering the rest to her higher power. I did not know how to do that during my process. Mm-hmm. Got the divorce, had to come to terms with seeing my kids much less than I was used to. And at first that's, very, very difficult, heartbreaking, lonely. Mm-hmm. But you get stronger and you start reclaiming your space and reclaiming your space and what you want to do in the world. And again, just coming back to acceptance and surrender.
Mm-hmm. I was remiss in not setting this up as the fact that you are a life coach, which is very important because this isn't just, ruminating about your experience, which it is and it will resonate with many people. But the fact that you're a life coach, and this is going to be like a sad thing, but usually whatever we're supposed to be in life, like let's say like, okay, even in Christianity, like if you're destined to like pray and heal people, right? Most likely you're going to get sick a lot and have to rely on God for him to heal you before your faith is going to be built up enough where you're going to be able to be used.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the one thing that you are being a life coach is sadly this situation that you went through will end up being the reason why you're such a good life coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is how you're truly going to help people, because you can empathize with them. You've walked it. And because you've walked it and reclaimed your life and surrendered, then you can show other people that they too can do that. So it's very powerful. And I think you mention and allude to that throughout the book, like how important it is that this made you stronger.
Absolutely. Yeah. One thing that I touch on in the book is how we are in control of our stories. We're in control of the interpretations that we have of our lives. And I think it's very easy for anyone, but in this particular example that we're looking at, for women who have to leave a toxic relationship, get a divorce, and have to share time with their children, it's very easy to get stuck in a victim mentality of poor me, and why did this happen to me, and I had this vision of my life looking like this, and now it looks nothing like that. Mm-hmm. And really, for me, I found it very powerful when I was able to change that interpretation and that story to, you know what? My divorce was the best thing that ever happened to me. I am a much more embodied human right now than I was 6 years ago. You know, at the time when I was in my marriage, I was really only almost a shell of myself, just trying to go through the motions and, you know, living in survival mode. The divorce was such a blessing because it put me on this path of self-discovery of, like, what is my greater calling? What is my purpose in this life right now? And so changing that story, changing that narrative was very supportive for me.
Your kids, they're thriving. They're doing well.
They are, you know, one of my sons is actually neurodivergent. And so that has also been another very profound spiritual teaching for me. Mm-hmm. He's one of my greatest spiritual teachers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a whole other conversation around that. Mm-hmm. But again, it's an opportunity for me to surrender and trust mm-hmm. and just show up every day as the best version of myself that I can to support him and mm-hmm. trusting that mm-hmm. I was the mom that he was meant to have. He mm-hmm. was the son that I was meant to have. And there's meaning and purpose in that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And that's that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, simply, mm-hmm. simply, that's that. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, life is challenging. Even lives that look very perfect, seemingly perfect.
Yeah.
Like, life will get you.
Yeah.
Even if you're running from it or, you know, at some point or another, you know, you're going to have to face whatever you're going to have to face, and mm-hmm. everyone has to face different things. Talk to me about the process of how you became published and, like, what that process was like. Because I think when we met a couple years ago, you were writing in the process of writing the book, or you were going to write the book. So a lot's happened since I talked to you.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, it was really easy. I feel like it definitely sort of came to me. The publisher reached out to me on Instagram, and this particular publisher targets a lot of life coaches and figures like that to help them write a book so that they can create more clients. That's sort of where they came yeah. from. But I really loved their process, because how they started out is I voice recorded all of my chapters and then they were transcribed, and then I did the editing from there, which I wouldn't have thought to have yeah. done that before, mm-hmm. but I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. So me recording my voice part of the process was actually quite quick. It was the editing that took like mm-hmm. 2 years. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of life happened in that. Mm-hmm. And I was sharing with you before we started as well that, you know, there was some fear of really releasing this out into the world. Mm-hmm. So I think I had to also get to a place of confidence with that mm-hmm. for it to be the right time.
I find it very courageous, actually, to be that vulnerable. No one likes to be that vulnerable and transparent, but because you were, it made the book so much more powerful. Hmm. And very few people are that transparent.
Wow.
They really are not as transparent as you are. So it really is going to help.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to help a lot of people. It's good.
Well, I hope so. I mean, that's the intention, yeah, that it helps whoever it's meant to help.
It know? Will. Yeah. And then you'll probably end up on the speaker circuit too, which is also going to be part of, like, facilitating and enhancing, you know, the client list and all that. But
I would love to. I think it's so much fun.
Yeah. And I think you would be good at that. Your video that you made, so good. It made me smile. I watched it twice because I thought it looked so good, and you look so free and happy, and it looks so redemptive, you know, that because I've known what you had gone through to some degree. Learn more in the book. And so it was really beautiful to see you in that space and place in that video. It was really, really, I mean, beautiful. I guess I could try to find another word, but I don't have one. It was really just that.
Thank you.
That's a good word.
That's a good word.
I don't like putting people in boxes when, you know, I'm saying you're a life coach and now you're an author, but you're also a realtor too. So what is it like? Because that is a whole different thing than everything else that we're talking about right
yeah.
now. How often are you straddling, like, being a mom, writing and editing a book, and then, like, I'm going to be a realtor at the same time? How does that work? Very different.
Yeah, that's a good question. I just show up and do what, like, the top priorities of that day, you know? But, I mean, I will be honest that to me, the the work around the coaching and the writing, obviously my kids come first. Yeah. Here's that. And then the coaching and the writing, that's always the work that I want to be doing because it speaks to my heart and soul. Mm-hmm. And then with real estate, I just go sit open houses and then I can work while I'm sitting in open house, you know.
So. Sell a house or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good gig. What kind of a speaking junket or a book release is going to happen very soon in a couple of days, if you want to share that?
Yeah. So what my publisher does, which I had never heard of this, but we're doing a virtual book launch party on this Friday, the 11th at 5 o'clock CST. And it's just a short and sweet, I think she said 15, 20 minutes tops, where she'll introduce me and I'll come on and say a little thing and she'll walk everyone through how to just jump on Amazon and purchase the book at the same time. And the reason they do that is it somehow like boosts the Amazon algorithm, which then helps future sales, they've found.
Right.
So it's a great way for anyone who's in my community who wants to support to just jump on and buy. There'll be ebooks. They didn't give me the exact price, but they said they'll be between 99 cents and $2.99. So a very affordable price available for anyone who doesn't want to commit to buying a full hard copy.
Is it a hardback or?
I mean paper.
Yeah,
sorry.
Paper. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that's the next step is the virtual launch. And after that, I'm not sure. I'm just going to take it step by step and figure it out. It's definitely my first rodeo.
Yep. So what about the support system that you have now? Like in this community that we're in right now, your parents, are they proud of what you're doing? Are they supportive? Your friends? Like, talk to me about that.
Yeah, definitely my friends are supportive. My parents are supportive as well. And in terms of support system, on a deeper level, that's interesting that you asked that because being in that, I feel like I have different spiritual beliefs than the majority of people who live in this area. So in that way, I've had to sort of be creative to find my support system because it doesn't feel authentic for me to just plug into a church, for example, that has like already existent support system there. So that's still something I'm really figuring out. It's more just like sort of small pockets here and there of people. And then also I think really, really realizing that, you know, even when I'm speaking with someone that doesn't have the exact same belief system, like finding the resonance in that. Like I can find resonance with you when you're talking about your faith. Mm-hmm. I can find resonance with our mutual friend Madra. Mm-hmm. When someone is coming with an openness, like openness of spirit and a non-judgmental spirit, that we can still find that level and depth of connection, even though we might not have the exact same vocabulary.
Right. Well, that's the funniest thing about that, because you say that in the book, but everything that you say is the same thing that I believe.
Yeah.
You just like are saying it maybe with some different, maybe it's divinity, maybe it's universe or whatever, but whatever you're saying resonates with me because it is my belief system in my Christian faith. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and I feel that when you speak to you.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's like same.
Right.
Even though, I mean, you might think that you're more separated from churches, or I don't know which ones you're going to. It doesn't really matter. I'm not hung up on religion. Everyone's going to find their way.
Yeah.
What that works for them, and it's gonna be okay. And I do think that, I mean, you came to my church couple of years ago, and so you know what that's like, so you've been there, and then you know whatever, like you when you become friends with someone or your acquaintances and you start walking the walk with people, the journey is long.
Yeah.
And it doesn't all have to be figured out today or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You just have to commit to humanity and people and love them and not judge.
Yeah.
And then you let God take care of the rest or whatever you want to, you know, your version of that. But I do think from reading your book, that you've had a lot of awakenings.
Mm-hmm.
You call that whatever you want to call that, and I'm not even going to label it, but I can tell that you're making a lot of breakthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
And actually understanding that what most of us should understand, and I think some still don't, is that so much about our lives has nothing to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
And without, you know, grace and support and, you know, love, which is the most important thing of anything, it really is something that we all should be striving for and not worry about all the other things.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know, you've come a long way, I think, and strong. You're strong, too, right
Thank
now.
You.
And so just keep staying in that strength, too, because, you know, this is what happened to me when I started the magazine 17 years ago. I had this vision for the magazine. I was very, you know, kind of bullish and confident about it. And I knew what I wanted it to be, and it was different than other magazines. And then the night before I knew the magazine was going to be out on the streets, I did not sleep that night. And I was very, very nervous about, okay, now all of my bravado was gone. And I was like, oh my God, what did I just do? I just started a magazine. What if people don't like it? What if, like, I was also transparent about myself in writing about things in the magazine that was actually out of my comfort zone, because I like to stay more, keep my cards close to my vest, but I had to be out there and say something and have an opinion. And I was very, very nervous. Maybe the most nervous I've ever been in my life, career-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you do put your heart and soul to pen to paper, whether it's a book or a magazine, you know, it's a big deal when you've poured your heart on the pages. And so this is not just, you know, a little thing. It's a big deal. You're birthing a book. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And it's awesome. And just like enjoy the ride and embrace it. And it's just going to be a journey that's going to take you on its own ride.
Yay.
and just keep doing what you're doing too. I mean, I think it's really, really good. But I ask that, and I don't even know half the time, maybe more than half the time, I have no idea why I say half the things that I do. I just kidding. But I would say that in this situation too, that like, just like get your camp of people to support you in the endeavor, you know, just in being successful, not being worried about it. Just, you know, to, you need people. When you birth something, you do need a camp of people.
Mm-hmm.
It can be small, but you do need a camp of people who are going to be rooting for you, that you can make a call to, that you can call to say, hey, can you show up at a book signing that I'm going to do at Sundog on Saturday? I mean, you do need your little army that you do need when you're birthing something too.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that in mind too.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
I do know that from firsthand experience that you like the guest prior to you coming in, she says her company is, you know, small but mighty, and small but mighty is good.
Mm-hmm.
You just do need though to understand that, you know, you need team.
Yeah.
You know, team Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Go team Ashley.
Go team Ashley. Yes. I definitely have like people scattered. So
yeah.
I'll just bring them all together.
Yes. So, we're not getting a lot into the book, and that's okay, because I don't know. I think I've heard you on some podcast as well. I digested some information on you on your social media and your website. And I have found that when you're talking about like the tips to get over something, but there's not a lot of sharing or oversharing about like the absolute crux of a difficult situation that you had to extract yourself from.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like talking about that, or do you prefer that someone reads the book?
Wow, that is a very interesting question. I don't think that I have ever actually spoken about it in public.
Yes.
Outside of my
because
book.
I couldn't find anything. So that's leading to the question. I'm like, okay, well, on one hand, it's a great marketing, and I know you're not doing this for a marketing reason, but I'll just like make a point. It's great that people will want to read it because it is thought-provoking, to say the least, and riveting and remarkable that you are able to extract yourself from the situation and you are where you are right now. Really quite remarkable. When you go on the speaker circuit, probably you're going to have to find a sweet spot where you're going to be able to probably at one point start that.
Yeah. You know, interestingly enough, I would be comfortable sharing the story, and I'm realizing there's still a little bit of a fear of sharing the story in a community in which...
I know. And I think that's smart. Right. And I actually do think that's smart and prudent and something that, you know, is good. And anyway, people should buy the book.
Yeah, that's right. You want to hear the story, buy the book.
And you're not even trying to be coy about it. It is actually like where you are right now. And I think it's like a good place to be, you know. And keep us posted on... I do want to about like all the book signings and what you've got going on, but I did have a thought yesterday. It was a very busy day, lots going on, but another thought that we should write an article about it in the magazine, or you should write like a column. I don't know. I'm going to get with Jordan and we'll talk about, you know, what to do. She's going to read the book. We just talked about it earlier today too, so we'll figure out what to do, but I think that's something that would be good for the magazine.
Perfect.
To also share. Your story and something I don't go looking for just like any old like meatier story than we're doing right now. But when it comes across my path and I think that it could really help somebody, I will sort of like target that to maybe find a spot in the magazine too.
Thank you. That would be a
blessing. You're welcome. Well, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
And congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Very happy for you. And any time that you are going to be picking up your drums again, please call me and I would like to hear them.
Okay, I will. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, everybody, I'm sure you're going to go out and buy the book now because we've done a good setup for this and it's remarkable, as I said a couple of times. Have a good day, everybody. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.